cranberry sauce, stuffing, potatoes. Come on, turkey, join your friends.
Do you really think the turkey's just gonna climb onto the plate?
I would.
Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show, coming at you from Shared Universe Podcast Studio once again. And once again, I'm joined by Andrew Rizzitello.
Yo!
And Ryan Taggart.
Fuck is all.
We are back, and not always rude, but we have our moments.
I'm mostly rude.
At least
you keep me around anyway.
Yeah.
This is true. Despite
you
that,
you love it.
We like you.
Yeah.
So
we're all a little bit of a masochist here and there for Ryan's torture.
A little bit.
Oh, you guys.
We tolerate it.
It's so sweet.
Isn't it? Isn't that the definition of friendship? Someone you know all their flaws, but you like them anyway? Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's basically where we're
twists,
coming from.
Right. You know.
Whoa.
To say the least.
Yeah.
Not in front of the camera. We're not getting paid for this one.
No. That's,
no we've been talking about nudity for the future, so you know.
I know.
We can start with nipple twists.
Well, we'll wait. One of these days, we'll do like an Aaron Carter-like stream where we're
baby
just
steps.
Like, all right, dicks out, everybody. Let's go.
Yeah. Yep. Thanksgiving show turns into penis talk.
Yeah, this went down.
All our shows turkey.
Devolve into penis talk.
God damn it.
Only when Andrew's here, though. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, why? Why is it me?
Which is strange, because...
Why do you guys bring up all your sexual fantasies and whatnot when I'm in the room, but you direct it as if I'm the one saying it?
You inspire us.
Yes.
Because all your talk of your phallus talk in the past has inspired us.
It's embedded somewhere in the back.
And it is.
It just pops out.
I got it.
Here.
I know what we're going to talk about. Andrew's here.
You're getting lubed up with whiskey and you know,
yeah, just, yeah, lubed up. Nice connotation
making,
there.
It's making me hot.
The fuck.
Well, actually, you know what's funny? So, speaking of porn, which is always,
but Chris and I are here again. Time to talk
about
porn.
Time to talk porn. Yeah. Andrew's favorite subject. Although whiskey is number two with a bullet, but. It's interesting. Since we've been doing the shows, particularly here, I mean, a handful of Zoom shows have gone up on the YouTube channel, but overall, the episodes that have been recorded here, with the exception of one, have all gone up on the YouTube channel. And I've been paying more attention to just YouTube analytics and different details that I never really had before, in part thanks to the YouTube Studio app, which is super handy just to have on your phone and just look at, like, well, I wonder what people are checking out. I wonder how many views we got on day one or whatever it is.
Super handy. So we're still talking about porn?
Yeah.
Well, hang on. Well.
Thank you, because I was going to go there and I kept my mouth shut, but he was on it.
This is all conscious setup. Everyone's just going to have to take this ride with me, okay? And yes, that's intentional as well. So... as I'm looking through and noticing, like, the views on the older shows from 2015, the shows at Skid Row Studios in downtown Los Angeles, the now defunct Skid Row Studios. And I'm looking through and noticing the uptick in views because of the new episodes. You know, I mean, now podcasts have become so ubiquitous, and now video is such a huge element of podcasts that hadn't really existed until a few years ago. Like, people started putting up full episodes, and now it's kind of the standard, like, well, you do the audio version. And then you do the video version that you throw up on YouTube. And that's kind of the way most shows operate now. Everybody has a video setup. So I was looking back and those, like I said, the increase in views in the old episodes. And I'm looking at, there was one episode of CAPE from 2015 called American Porno Story, which was about basically everyone on the panel. I see that look you're giving. Engineer Chris is in the studio, everybody, if you didn't notice. And he's eyeballing me.
There was a glare across the room.
Why?
We
is
all
it always
felt it.
About yeah. sex. And these guys are disgusting. Yeah. So anyway, the episode was basically everyone, at least the panel. I didn't do it because I was the host. And I said, nope, you guys have to do it. I didn't tell them that until after they read theirs. And they're like, where's yours? And anyway, the idea was to write like some phony erotica. Not necessarily a parody, just, you know, how you
would
do it.
Oh, wait, I think I
know this one. I do know this one, too.
Well, I know you did, because you were an avid listener.
I was listening to it at work. Like,
which is perfect. What better a place to listen to erotica than
while you're at work? Yeah, the first time I listened to it, I was at work, and I was like...
Oh, I'll bet. It is a really funny episode. Actually, I should go back and give everybody the episode number so you can find it yourself. But anyway, so... I was looking at the analytics and I'm seeing that, oh, that episode got a thumbs down. Well, that's kind of weird. Why is it the episode has a thumbs down? Like, I just thought that was kind of bizarre.
One thumbs down?
Just one thumbs down. Like, three thumbs up and one thumbs down.
So who was the asshole?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't tell you who gives a thumbs up or thumbs down on your YouTube video. I mean, maybe it does when you get to a certain level, but I don't see why. I'm sure they'd want to keep it anonymous so you don't immediately go after, you know, trolls and everything. Right. That'd be pretty bad. Because you know people would do it.
Yeah, you 684 assholes that gave me the thumbs down. Yeah. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, each and every one of you.
Exactly.
I'll be outside your dining room tomorrow.
The end of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, they spent all their money flying around.
Did you say they're fucking clown shoes?
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
Yes.
Did you say fucking clown shoes?
Do you post as Magnolia fan? All right,
stop.
This is going to devolve into callbacks. Kate 56, by the way, American Porno Story from June of 2015. So
Sherry on this panel?
Or she read out Norman's.
That's right, Norman's.
She came to the studio to hang out, and she ended up reading his in a voice that made you. I'm sure you must have jerked off to it at least twice.
I probably did.
You probably did.
Goddamn Audible.com.
You immediately sent me. You immediately sent me a text message talking about how great Sherry's voice was for
that
for
reason.
That. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, this guy's totally stroked it out. She
playing craps in the bathroom.
Who was not my girlfriend at the time, no. So I had no problem with it whatsoever. I just thought it was funny. To the point where, sidebar, I was actually going to write an erotica about you, and I was going to do your voice, and she was going to narrate the whole thing.
Oh, speaking of my voice, the voice that you've given me, do you know how many people have
I've given you?
You have given me a voice. No, you've given me a caricature. Admit it. That you've said many times that you could do this show without any of us here because you just do caricatures of our voice.
Fuck you.
Exactly. Well,
yeah. No, I mean, like, Chris and I have talked about it. Like, you don't actually sound like that. We know.
But no, yeah. But...
And,
so,
like, Corey doesn't sound the way we make him sound.
And I understand that. But still, like, the fact that you do it and it's so prevalent. I've had two or three... Here we go. I'm going to tag the Masons again. Two or three Masons come up to me that have listened to the show since we started doing the reunions and go... Holy shit, that's you. Holy shit.
Dude,
did Chris come up with that? They're like, especially Adam, he turned around and said, that's how I get my aggression out. I just say, you know, I just go into your voice and that's how I get my aggression out. And if my kids are wondering why I'm Chris, I'm like, oh, I'm just doing an impersonation of Andrew.
See?
So there you go.
You saved a life.
I saved a life.
At least one.
At least one, yeah.
At home.
This is how I don't kill people. I just go into Andrew's voice.
You don't rage out. Yeah. You drew out, right?
The long-suffering Sherry has to deal with me literally doing monologues in your voice.
I don't doubt
whatever.
It, and I'm sorry.
Don't Sherry, be. If you're listening.
Yeah,
I knew I nailed that impression when your wife started doing it. And I said, that's it. It's done. Like, once she adopted, like, that's your voice, I said, that's it. I cannot improve upon this. I can die a happy man. I'm just going to leave my car at the red light.
This is your legacy.
Walk off into the sunset.
Yeah, once you get the approval from the wife, it's all good.
I mean, let's be honest. Who would know him better in most ways? I mean, you would think.
I mean, you and her have actually known me the longest out of everyone.
No, Ryan's known you longer than I have.
Yeah.
Freshman year of high school, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Technically,
right.
It's Ryan.
Technically, Ryan. You're right. Fuck.
I mean, thanks for almost bestowing that honor on me. But
what is that, like 22 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan beat me by 3 years.
Yeah.
Because freshman year of high school, I met you. So you're a sophomore. So I'm sorry, it was 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year.
That's right, because I'm 2 years ahead of you.
1998. So,
a year.
For you and I, yes.
For you and I, yeah. Woo.
I was 1 foot out the door at that point. But anyway, so I saw the thumbs down. And when you go deeper into analytics, you can find out like what people search for to find your videos.
Oh, okay.
And I can't even believe I'm looking at this and I'm sitting on the couch just laughing like a maniac because it must have gotten a thumbs down because the keywords for people who found the video within like the last 7 days, because it was a new thumbs down.
Okay.
Like I could see the analytics from last week. You can choose the time frame. The keywords that were typed in were porn, uncensored porn, full porn movie, YouTube. Like, people actually went to YouTube looking for legitimate porn, found this episode of the show, saw it wasn't porn, and gave it the thumbs down. What asshole out there.
They were not offended, but disappointed.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's so funny.
Did you type in the wrong word after you? Is well, that what it was?
That's
instead
what
of porn, you put type tube and thought you were still going to find, you know,
like legit
old
porn.
Video. Yeah, like.
But who doesn't know? YouTube doesn't have porn on it.
Yeah, noob. What the fuck?
It was real. But there were three different search results. And I thought, well, one of these people gave me the thumbs down.
Was Roblox in front of one of them?
No. Yeah. It was.
Someone yes,
stumbled
yes,
upon this
see?
Gibberish.
I got you. I got you. Because you know, too. Meme Master Christian over there. He knows.
Don't you call me out like this.
Why are we shouting?
Yeah, what the hell?
Someone's like, God, this shucks.
Goddamn, first time I met this guy, and I already know. I pinpointed you, sir.
You shut up!
He's heard you. See, everybody knows everybody because of the show. It's kind of funny. He locked on to your personality as soon as he wasn't here for one episode. After an hour and 40 minutes, he was like, I know that guy. Yeah. Well, 20 minutes of hot Muppet talk, and then the rest of it.
Hot Muppet. Exactly. Hot Muppet talk. Was.
Tip of the iceberg.
Oh, you have no
just the tip.
No idea.
Oh, I know. Mm. With these two, yeah. We might as well just leave.
So yeah, anyway, Jack and I were looking, just sitting there looking at each other like,
you know, when the two of them come, they're like, every time.
Rhymes just waiting for it to be over.
Yeah. Didn't realize how awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Homeboy's wearing an Electric Mayhem shirt right now.
Fucking get with the fucking program.
And I almost wore one today, just coincidentally. So it would have been funny.
Let's not do this again.
Yeah. It's like nobody told me we're having teams.
Oh God.
But anyway, that just amused me that someone actually legitimately went to YouTube to look for porn.
I guarantee
and
you.
And found my show and then said, like, oh, this is bullshit. There's not one titty.
Yeah, because at no point in YouTube's existence was there, like,
no!
any porn.
No, the closest thing they could possibly have
was,
is, like.
There was. In the very beginning,
in
when
the
no
nascent
one
days.
Gave a shit about YouTube before the Google buy.
Before Google. Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
That
yeah, because obviously
that
Google
sense.
Wasn't going to
yeah,
have.
Yeah,
but I think YouTube overtook Pornhub for a hot second.
Really?
Yeah, because
wow.
no one gave a shit.
Well, it, yeah,
you couldn't
it was.
Make
it
money.
Was
right. You couldn't do anything on YouTube back in the day.
Yeah, it was the Wild West. That's true. It was just a site to upload videos.
Yeah, that's all it was.
So yeah, I can see that.
Vimeo,
but still,
all
within,
that.
I mean, we're in the end of 2020 at this point, practically.
Yeah,
we're doing this. The
but now
the
you're
go-
that, that's what I mean. Like, you're going to YouTube now to look for porn?
But right. like, why YouTube of all places? Like, YouTube is a household name. How do you not know
there are
porn
apps
on
TV yeah, for YouTube?
By default, you should know that.
You know
I mean, you would think
they're doing yeah. ASMR stuff. That's what it is. It's like fat people stepping on chocolate cakes for ASMR.
Yeah, that shit is weird. It's like knuckle
really
cracking
weird.
And like tapping noises and yeah, I've seen
it's
like some of that
relaxing.
Stuff. I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, this is irritating to me.
Yeah.
I can't relax.
Can you ever seen the microphones for that? Like their actual ears?
No.
Ew.
Yeah. Like, so they make, I don't know who makes them. But, thank you, Christian. But they make microphones that look like ears so that you can simulate like whispering or doing whatever the sound, smacking your lips. I'm going to get that for Chris. I'm going to get an entire track of someone.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Don't. I could just
see right there. Yeah. Yeah. Look on the screen right
but
there.
People get off on the weird shit like that and like
yeah.
all these weird noises. And I'm like, this is,
Yeah, it freaks you the fuck out.
I think I've ever seen. There's an image on this on the
it's,
monitor.
It's in
over
a
there,
legit ear. Look at it.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That's so freaky. Now, here's the thing that I didn't have
omnidirectional. Obviously,
I thought it was weird when I heard about ASMR. I said, okay, that's kind of strange, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then when you start seeing more and more, like I'm gonna eat this bag of chips. And,
yeah.
You know, some chick who's literally eating
then,
a bag of Lay's,
whispering and making noises.
Yes.
Right.
That's all it is.
I thought. All right, this isn't so bad. When I saw that there was a girl who was doing like almost pillow talk,
yes,
with a guy,
yes,
and or mimicking like a girlfriend experience,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, okay, I guess that's pretty harmless. But at the same time, my heart went out to like whoever the fuck is watching this. I'm thinking the poor dude who's just like, I just want
so
a girl
lonely.
To lay next to me.
Yeah.
But,
I mean,
and I mean that seriously. Like as much as I can complain about ASMR and think it's weird and like, oh, who's into this? I mean, stuff like
there's
eating
a fetish
and,
for everything.
Stuff. Well, I mean, that exactly.
People are into feet and you know.
Yeah, like I'm rubbing my toes on the microphone. Like,
even
gross.
That's probably more normal than the ASMR stuff nowadays. Like.
Mm.
I don't know. People just like noises.
It's weird.
I don't
like,
know.
How do you devolve from like chanting or the new age kind of like meditation sounds like the alpha waves and beta waves to ASMR to people literally sitting there going,
Or they're like scratching the table and cracking their knuckles.
Yeah,
and,
like
well, you could, dude.
Who wants to listen to this?
If there are women or men, frankly, out there who like the sound of an allergenic nose, then you could make a fortune.
You're goddamn right.
Yeah, dude. Think about it.
Right, not even myself. I'll just put it up to Roxy and just let her sniff it for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, obviously, like, and we criticize, but obviously there's something there. Like people are doing it and
yeah.
They get fans and they get followers. And
that is an untapped gold mine. Metal Drew ASMR.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, please do
it. Was this
yeah.
like the fourth show you've made for me so far?
We'll subscribe.
I bet you will.
My nose.
What's the sound?
My nose. Yeah, anybody who's listening, just... people are steering into dividers to make the pain stop. Oh, my God.
See, this is what I like when the producer, and this is why I don't wear headphones, so I don't have to hear it, but I can get other people to go, what the fuck was that?
Oh, you're going
to
hear it.
He's like, I'm keeping my headphones. I'm keeping my headphones off for the rest of the show.
Yes! I didn't even get
to it. That's what you get for looking at your phone instead of paying attention to the show. He's going to bring you right back. It's like, I can't unhear this.
There's no bleach for your ears.
Here's a preview of Andrew's of Metal Drew's ASMR, probably also coming soon to Snapchat. All right. My nose is really schnotted up right now. I'm going to inhale a couple of times for you. Oh, you like that?
Fuck's sake.
See, and this is where, when I see people are viewing the video, it's going to be like, average watch time, 12 minutes. This is the part where they bail out. They're like, fuck this.
I mean, if you tag it with ASMR, it's not a lie.
Well, this is true. Well, that's the funny part.
You'll
all the
get the clicks.
The things I tagged in the American Porno Story episode, it still gets tons of views. Like, the amount of views has gone up steadily in the last five and a half years at this point.
Also for the only podcast, because I still get notifications on my phone for the page from Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And every time you put an episode up, there's at least 1 to 4 new views.
Totally. It's same with the episodes. I mean, prior to making the episodes available everywhere again, we were just since Cape came back. Well, you guys were just on one at a time, and then in June.
Yeah.
I mean, the catalog of the show, which is, you know, over 200 episodes, but it was getting a steady, like, 100-plus downloads a month. I frankly haven't checked it in the last couple of weeks. I've been so focused on this, because this has been such a regular fixture that I haven't gone back and looked.
Well, plug the channel. Where can people find it?
Just look up The Only Podcast That Matters. And your favorite podcast resource.
Yes.
Because it's basically everywhere.
It is. I mean, I use Google Podcast ever since now.
Same.
It's... You know, that's become the norm on an Android phone. You can find it in the iTunes.
Apple Podcasts. Yeah. Everything's changed names, too, which is the other thing. It's like all our old stuff is antiquated because, like, check us out on iTunes. Well, and now it's Apple Podcasts or Apple Music or, you know, whatever. So it's interesting how technology ages
everything.
It's all
uncensored.
It's like this. If you like this particular brand of bullshit, that's exactly what
that
show was.
What it is. Absurd.
Non-linear.
All, yeah, not very non-linear.
Yeah, a lot of tangents.
Yes. And we got, how many episodes were the wives, girlfriends, women take over?
Too many.
how sexist of you.
There was never 100%. That was always something that was an idea that never panned out. It was just literally going to be the four significant others. And it didn't come to pass.
There was always at least one of us there.
Yeah.
Right?
I was on both broadcasts, which were all – when Orion showed up, I think for the second one, or was it that
the
a different
second
episode?
One,
yeah,
think.
The second one, it was you and I and
Natalie and Veronica,
I think, which was funny. And then the first one was just me and three of the
ladies.
No,
didn't – Veronica, Kim, Natalie, and
– me.
Oh,
that was
you,
the first
okay.
broadcast.
All right, all right.
And then the second one Ryan was there for, which I don't remember. I don't remember how that came to be. But yeah, like they were always co-ed. There was never one that was completely the women, but that was
the idea. Yes.
Right. Yeah, it was that one day we just handed over and see what they would do.
We couldn't let them run with it.
I don't think they wanted to run with it.
Yeah.
I think they would, because especially at that point, I think it would have been a good idea because they were so used to the rhythm of the show and it all participated that I think it just would have been fun to see like, okay, take an hour and do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's inevitably going to happen here. I'm sure there's going to be something. Hopefully it's not like me being physically unable to get to the studio. Like something has come up and I can't make it. I think maybe a planned week off might be more likely, and you guys will probably just be doing this show without me at some point, which would be really funny.
Ooh.
It'd just be a roast.
Yeah, absolutely will.
An hour of shit talking. We'll save it. I'm thinking about a 40th birthday roast for next year. I'm thinking that might be the theme.
That would be great.
For my 40th birthday.
I'm going to start writing shit down now.
Feel free. Oh, I got jokes for you guys already.
I'm surprised we didn't do the roast to me for when I turned 37.
Yeah, but that's not a remarkable year, though.
Oh, please. That was all day.
I'm 37?
Hey, I started that.
I mean, dicks on the way to the parking lot.
As far as our little group, anyway. Obviously, some other guy started that in 1993.
Yeah, I'm going to be running that joke next month.
That's true. Yeah, your birthday's coming up, too. Wow. Yeah, we're all in a tight... Actually, Jack's the outlier because his birthday's in July. Mm-hmm. But even the fact we're all in the second half of the year, I mean, maybe that's not too remarkable, but it's still interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all from end of July to end of December.
Yeah.
It's just funny that way. Well, anyway, so you're funny. Thank you.
Funny how.
This show is going up the Monday after Thanksgiving weekend.
So hopefully you've gotten over your hangover.
Yeah, hopefully the tryptophan is worn off and you're back to normal.
You know, because a Thanksgiving show?
No.
Are we finally getting to it? No.
That's kind of what I said to the guys. Like, you know, we never really talked about Thanksgiving on the only podcast that matters, to kind of go back to that. We never did a Halloween show. We never did a Thanksgiving show. And it was just kind of curious that we, for whatever reason, just never got to it. So I thought, well, there's actually something that's fresh that isn't about porn or Andrew's dick or anything else. Andrew's voice. So I thought, you know what? We should actually talk about Thanksgiving now that everybody's past it, because a lot of anxiety that leads up to Thanksgiving. I mean,
oh God,
certainly,
yes.
Certainly in years past when it comes to gatherings and everything, obviously this Thanksgiving is going to look different for a lot of people, but.
Or looked different. Remember, this is going on after.
Well, yes, but I'm just kind of wondering, because I've thought about the things I'm going to miss out on this year, because there's no extended family. The Abalo family has kind of gotten together, and the extended family. And decided, like, yeah, no, unfortunately, Thanksgiving and Christmas aren't going to happen in the usual way. So I started thinking about the things I'm going to miss about it. I mean, aside from the actual gathering of the family that we frankly see on holidays, because that's the occasion when the out-of-staters, and I used to be one of them, would come to Jersey and we'd actually get to see them. So there were, you know, one or two times a year.
Your sister staying in California?
Yeah, well, that's it. She didn't come home last year. The thought was she was going to come back this year, but just with everything going on. And it's not even so much the flight itself, it's the airport. And I can't blame her. I mean, LAX is a zoo on the average day. And with cases going up at an alarming rate out in California, I can't blame her for not wanting to go to the airport, because that's a petri dish
all
the time.
That governor's another hypocrite, because he got caught with his family.
Well, I don't want to get into that.
Not
because I'm in love with Gavin Newsom or anything. I just don't. We're going to take this in a completely different direction. Speaking of derailing, let's try to stay on a topic for more than two and a half minutes. Yeah. So anyway, I was thinking about some traditions that we've had, aside from family getting together, as far as meals and stuff like that. Like, what is it you guys have typically done? We'll start with you, because you're not a fan of many holidays, but something you usually do every year.
If we're going to go way back in time when... I'd say early teenager. Sure. When my grandparents were still alive. As with all the other holidays, just like Christmas, it was go to their house in Jackson, because they had a big farmhouse over there. So my mother came from a family of eight. All the aunts and uncles got there. All the kids, grandkids, etc., got there. It was that scene that you see with the mother coming in holding the turkey and the father's getting ready to
carve
it.
Big silver tray.
Yeah, I mean,
father's at the head of the table.
I mean, it was a little bit more dysfunctional, but like that kind of gathering where there was a group of people there either just enjoying each other's company, celebrating what's to come or what has passed and things like that. That was Thanksgiving for us. And of course, just cornucopia of food.
Totally.
Cornucopia, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at you.
You know, it was one of those things where my grandmother would be cooking all morning and people would be bringing like their special dish, you know, whatever it was. That was the table, all kinds of things. And then the joke was that my aunt used to try to make grands, and she made hockey pucks because she could never fucking cook. You know,
that's good.
The directions are on the tube.
Oh, please don't even get.
Just set the oven.
You just set it.
They tried it and forget it.
They tried telling her every year,
and every year they came out and they're just bricks. And then obviously after I got married, things had to change back and forth. My mother-in-law lives in an apartment, so we can only do it smallish, like maybe 6 to 8 people gathering there.
So since marriage, that's been the annual thing.
Well, it is, but unless, you know, if my mother wants to step in and we go to her house, we bring everybody, you know, Libby, my mother-in-law, and the whole family, Stevie, her brother, you know, Veronica's brother and stuff like that. Now this year, we went down to Steve's house in Bayville, because he has the biggest abode, I guess you'd say. And because of all the precautions and everything, it was literally just Steve, his wife, his son, me, Veronica, Liara and Libby, mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
So it's her family.
It was just her family, because Steve's wife's family, Katie's family, they're snowbirds. So they're in Florida right now. And they are more along the lines of fearing what's going on with everyone. So they kind of like what your sister, they don't
want to go. So they went to a place that's more infectious than Florida.
They don't even want to go to an airport and everything like that. So they didn't even want to come up to Jersey to begin with. Plus, being from Florida, with the current status, you'd have to quarantine for 14 days anyway.
Which is all, yeah, I have relatives from Florida who would have been coming up for either Thanksgiving or Christmas. And that was the whole thing. Like, they were debating specifically
dealing with
Christmas. Yeah, just thinking, well, I could come up, but the whole time there, I'd have to basically stay in one place.
Yeah.
And then when I go back home, I'd have to stay inside for another 2 weeks because of whatever their break. I mean, if Florida even, it's
there aren't any.
Yeah, there probably aren't any.
It must be nice.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Mm, okay. Coming from I love hearing white people complain about freedom. Nothing makes me want to never stop throwing up more than that. But anyway, that aside, go ahead, flip me off. I don't even
care. We're not derailing us. You're yelling at you.
I'm not yelling at about that. I just want to actually talk about Thanksgiving. But yeah, so that same thing. That was kind of
the other
precaution.
Thing. Ever since my mother, Veronica and I got married and we started having Thanksgiving with her parents, Libby makes me duck for Thanksgiving.
Ooh. Oh, that's your preferred.
Oh yeah.
Protein?
I'm not a big turkey fan, and maybe it just may be the way that my family cooked it. Like a lot of the things that were cooked in my family, there was this classic way of cooking things that may have not made the best flavor profile. Hmm. So I've never had a deep fried turkey. I've never had an air fried or all these other it's always been oven baked turkey.
Sure.
And for me, it's
a standard.
It is. And for
most
me,
people can't be trusted to not burn their house down when they do.
Oh, yeah. How many firefighters out there had to have that PSA sent out? Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, about not using an air fryer at all?
Or a deep fryer.
Oh, yeah.
How many people light their sheds on fire?
Please don't burn down the state by a deep fryer for a turkey or a gender reveal party, please.
Oh, God. So a turkey always came out dry for me whenever I had it. And even the legs, which is technically like dark meat of the bird, it still came out, not tasteless.
So duck is your preferred meat because you like your meat greasy?
Yes.
That's a sex joke too.
It is. Of course.
It's pretty hard to make dark meat dry.
That's what I mean.
It's kind of a feat, actually.
Yeah. You would think it has the most flavor because it's got the most fat, obviously, but it would come out. They would be carving it. Which movie was that where like they
– Christmas Vacation. Just,
yeah.
Yeah, where it just
deflates.
It's just air.
Yeah.
It's just a bird that looks beautiful. It's just filled with air and bones.
I knew we put it in too early.
But otherwise it was a standard Thanksgiving.
There's no oh my God, I loved it because of X. There was nothing like that. It was just your general get together.
Just a standard American Thanksgiving kind of deal.
Nothing special. Sorry.
But now it's gotten to more often than not, it's the in-laws you're spending it with.
Yes, and now we are participating in the cooking.
Ah, okay.
So, my family never made, as Jack will hate, baked mac and cheese.
Mm.
We didn't start having baked mac and cheese until the in-laws.
See, that's the only sound you had to make to get here, his ears to perk up again.
Yeah, I was a blue box kid.
Me too.
Yeah.
We never made homemade mac and cheese. It was always Kraft mac and cheese, and it was fucking delicious.
You poor saps.
No, I've had it. I understand the folly. I've had baked from now on.
So have I.
But
so you've been reborn.
I have been in the Church of Cheese. I get it.
I still love the box stuff. The box stuff will always be good, though.
I'm not going to take anything away.
It'll always be good.
It's one of those comfort meals.
Right.
But if you want to spend the time and make yourself a good baked mac and cheese with the crusty top and everything, do it.
Like the crusty top.
You got to have that change in texture between the noodle. The pulled cheese and because you want good cheese.
But actual cheese as opposed to
that
powder.
That stretches.
Cheese flavored powder.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'd say it's like the difference between making a 20-cent package of Top Ramen and actually getting ramen.
Oh my God.
Both are good.
Boil it down even simpler. Barilla pasta or have your KitchenAid and roll it out and make it yourself.
That's extra sophisticated. I'm not making the pasta for macaroni and cheese.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Which, it's even more hilarious because obviously both of you two know my cousin Chris.
Yes.
He has completely gone overhaul on pasta where he makes everything himself. Like he has not bought, except for like bow tie noodles and like the small like noodles like that, but all kinds of, you know, fettuccine, spaghetti, lasagna.
He makes it all.
He makes it with his KitchenAid.
Wow.
And it's such a, cause like normally with like a Barilla or anything, you throw it in the pot and it's got to be like, what, 9 minutes or so till al dente about.
Just about. Around that. You probably got to give it 10 to 15.
Two minutes with the fresh stuff.
Wow.
Boom. Done. Makes his own Alfredo sauce. I'm like, who the fuck are you? You stop smoking. Like, what happened?
You sound so Italian right now. It's like, boom, done. Who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck is this? This fucking Puerto Rican guy.
The little bit of Italian and you actually just came out.
Boom, done. What the fuck is this over here? Boom, done. The pasta is right there. 2 minutes.
So I says to the guy.
Tell me two times.
What the fuck just happened?
Get the papers. Wow.
Yeah.
See, I wish I had the patience for that. I really do.
I mean,
the counter space, to be honest. Our kitchen isn't that big. Yes. That is a factor.
Or it's the same thing with like making a pizza crust, like rolling out the dough.
Yeah,
we've done that a few times, and it's so frustrating if you don't get, you know, enough
yeast and growth and flour.
And it sticks. Yeah. And if you don't flour it enough, and I'm like, fuck this. Like, I'm just getting a ready-made pizza crust and I'm going to slap it on
throw it in the oven.
We have a pizza stone. We'll just pop it on the pizza stone and it'll be crispy enough. Like, I don't need to be doing this. I don't have much work. I don't have the patience at this point in my life.
I want to eat. I don't want to earn my keep. Yeah.
you're burning the calories before you eat them.
Yeah.
In a way, probably. Just the amount of sweat that comes from it.
You don't even want to eat it after you're done. You're like, just eat this shit.
Yeah.
Take it away.
I'm too tired to eat.
I slaved over this.
This sucks. What about you? What were your traditions growing up and then now post-marriage? What the differences have been?
Yeah, growing up was very traditional, like Andrew's family. And I hate Thanksgiving food. Like, I hate it.
There are a lot of people who do. I know more and more people who don't like
it. Bores me to tears. Like the turkey, the mashed potatoes.
Stuffing.
I'm probably the only person in the world who doesn't like stuffing. Everyone I know.
Oh, you don't like stuffing either?
Like stuffing either? Good.
Wow.
Finally, there's someone else. Everyone's like, you're crazy. It's literally like a trash boat.
It's
of
soggy bread.
Mush. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like.
And everybody in my family loves it. All of them, except for me. And I can't do it. Now,
lone curmudgeon, go figure.
I'm the lone curmudgeon. Yeah. Yeah. The cranberry sauce, it looks like it has like botulism grooves when it comes out of the can. Like I can't do it.
Well,
I would rather eat pizza or tacos for Thanksgiving and just call it a day.
Oh. Right. Rather be any other dinner.
Sorry.
Turkey tacos.
No, that's,
yeah.
No, but
yeah, turkey tacos.
Ground turkey tacos.
And the thing is, like, my mom's a really good cook. I've always loved her cooking in general, but when it comes to Thanksgiving, we do all the same shit every year, and I'm like,
it's not appetizing.
I'm like, can we just skip to the pumpkin pie?
That's kind of the same reason why, you know, the duck. You know, Libby makes an awesome duck. She doesn't do it Szechuan style. She just does it traditional with some orange glaze on it and air fries it every year. So it's delicious and it's mine. Like, no, like, if I want to eat an entire fucking duck.
Yeah, this is my duck.
This is my duck.
Stay the
my
fuck
duck.
Away.
My duck. Say, fuck you.
My duck, my pork chops, fuck off. That's Andrew's Thanksgiving.
Okay, so here's a question for you. And this doesn't, I don't do this. I'm just asking. Is ham, like spiral ham, a Thanksgiving or a Christmas food? Doesn't it matter?
It's a nothing food.
It depends.
Okay.
We have had it at Christmas. There's generally a rotation because my cousin who hosts Christmas every year, they will rotate. I think 1 year we had a turducken, which is just weird. And
I still haven't had
we
that
have
yet.
Had duck. We have had turkey for Thanksgiving. We've had ham. We've had a whole variety. I think 1 year there was like a pork tenderloin or something. Like they've been really big on varying
it's
up.
It's more about the getting together and having a meal together.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
And not having like we need to eat this standard meal every single time, which is one of the reasons, frankly, if Thanksgiving. Yeah, I was curious about it because a lot of people just do the standard Thanksgiving, which doesn't necessarily appeal to me either. But just because it's like, you know, kind of turkey on its own. I mean, I'll eat a turkey sandwich, but just eating slices of turkey with gravy, it's fine.
Right, like,
but
it's okay.
Not my favorite thing.
Yeah, like, hate is a strong word. Like, it's edible. Like, I'll eat it. It's fine.
But it's just not appetizing to you.
It's not appetizing.
It's like, boring.
A turkey dinner. Yeah. Exactly. And the idea of...
Like, any other day of the year, like, I would never reach for something like that, like this kind of food.
I get that. I feel like it's so tied in with Thanksgiving that it's just generally not something people make. Just, we're making a turkey tonight.
And it's no wonder, like, Boston Market went out of business because it's fucking Thanksgiving food all year. Like, who wants to just go out of their way to eat? Eat this like any old time.
That and like, I mean, chicken by itself, like a whole roaster, takes 2 hours, you know, to cook that.
Right.
A turkey takes double that because of the size of the bird.
Yeah, turkey's in there for like 10 hours.
Yeah, like, who, I mean, and you can't even like, it's not like it's a slow roaster kind of thing where you can like let it sit all day while you're at work and come home and now you got this great
meal. You need to monitor it like an infant.
Yeah.
You need to constantly be checking on this turkey.
You know, unless you're like a stay-at-home parent or something like that, it's not practical. Mm-hmm. Now, that's why it's such, I guess, it's such a staple when it comes to Thanksgiving, because whomever is hosting knows they're going to not go anywhere, or other people are going to bring things to their abode so they can focus on making this prehistoric animal, you know,
this oversized bug we call a turkey.
Yeah.
It's good, like, God, they're weird looking. I do think it's funny, though, watching the turkey, because when we've gone to one cousin, these are both my father's side. One cousin will generally host Thanksgiving and the other will host Christmas. They're sisters. And it is always funny seeing the turkey being prepped to go out to the table, because it's just like shoveling breadcrumbs out of a bird's ass. And I'm thinking, why do we do this? What a weird tradition to be like, we're going to take this bread and this celery. We're going to shove it up this bird's ass. And it's going to be in the oven for 10 to 12 hours.
Yeah.
And, like, and that's going to depart flavor.
Who's the guy who thought of this?
And that's exactly where my mind goes. Like, who's the first one to like, listen, we have this bread.
I got some stale bread. Let's shove it up this turkey's ass.
Yeah. And then cook it.
Why don't you cook it in the turkey? Well, where are we going to put it in the turkey? Listen, there's an opening we all know about and don't like to talk about. I think we need to shove this bread
up your sleeves, boys.
Yeah. Do you want the turkey to eat it beforehand? No, no, no. We're taking the stomach out, but.
Yeah.
So who's going to fist this bird this year?
Yeah.
we going to draw straws or what?
We got to shove the Luke stuffing in this tauntaun, all right? Just open it up and just shove it in. Up to the elbow. Make sure you get that stuffing all the way in, like your wife's pregnancy.
Yeah.
The doctor to go up to the elbow. Basically pull your daughter out.
That's a
poor Christian
throwback
over here.
That's a whole other that's another Cape episode by the way.
It really did happen. Pregnancy's a fucking weird thing, dude.
Yeah,
it's a weird fucking thing, dude.
And childbirth, which thankfully you just had to observe. You didn't have to participate.
Yeah. Christian, go back and listen to that episode with my wife in it. Yeah. And she's a nurse, so she doesn't have any filter.
Yeah, she's tired. That's Cape 83. It's literally called Up to the Elbow with Veronica Rizzitello is the title.
Bro, telling you.
Up to the
you
elbow.
You want to laugh your ass off and hear about the birth of my daughter, Liara. Yes.
And think about the temperament of the woman who has to live with this.
God. With this guy, yeah.
I mean, she has to be...
What part are you laughing at?
All of the above.
All of it. He's totally going to check it out. Now he's like, I need to know. I need to hear this story. I might be disgusted.
Oh, you will.
I may never be able to get the image out of my head, but you know what? I gonna need
and
it.
And Andrew won't be invited back.
Nope. Oh, no, I will be, because he'll be like... You poor soul.
Yeah.
Can you satisfy her anymore?
He's trying to imagine like.
Yeah, like
he is. He's
can we turn this
camera?
Like,
picturing
on,
something.
Hold on. Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah. I am the puppeteer.
He's trying to get the mechanics of it. He's like,
now.
How does this work?
The doctor goes down. All right, you ready to be a dad? No, not yet. Well, first, I'm going to show you my Kermit the Frog.
It's working your wife like a puppet.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Andrew, maybe the happiest woman in the world.
And she's fucking choking me, saying, "You piece of shit."
There is no Dana, only Zool.
Like, thankfully, that didn't happen.
Hey, who forgot the epidural?
That did happen.
Oh, God. All right. This is going
to
stray away.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
fisting turkey.
Let's get back.
So, all right. So, I can.
So, well, Ryan, let's get back to Ryan because your Thanksgiving's everything. You're not into the food necessarily, but like, was there a gathering was a tradition?
Yeah, it was always a gathering. My cousin and her husband come up from D.C. Every year, and they hang out with us. And then since marriage, now I have to have two Thanksgiving dinners in the same day.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, Jen's family, you know, they're Italian, so they do that thing where they eat dinner at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Dinner starts at 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
until 9.
Yeah, the thing that I still don't understand, like why dinner happens that early in the day,
right?
Even on a holiday, like I've never gotten it.
It's the gathering.
Even if I eat a whole shitload of food at that time. By 8 o'clock, like, I'm gonna be hungry again.
Yeah,
like, guaranteed.
That's so the gathering.
So I'm like, this isn't dinner. This is still lunch. Like,
yes.
You're telling me you're not gonna eat again after this?
There shouldn't be a name. It should be the holiday meal.
Yeah.
It lasts from one till you pass out.
Right.
Basically, yeah.
Seriously.
I'll tell you, in recent years, I've tapped out.
You pass out on the coat with the bed with all the coats on it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So I'm eating, you know, at a whole bunch of Italian food at like 1 o'clock, and then I'm eating turkey and all that other boring shit at like six, which I guess isn't abnormal. So it's, I mean, basically lunchtime and basically dinner time, but
yeah, so it's
just
like
so
just
much food.
Meals. It is.
Yeah. And I don't really stop myself because I prefer the Italian food.
Yeah, well,
so I stuff myself.
How,
and then,
are they good cooks? Are Jen and parents?
Well, they usually just order like a bunch of like catering. Good Italian restaurants that are, you know,
well,
in
yeah,
the area.
Yeah.
So we do that, or sometimes they'll make like fried fish and stuff like that. So lots of food, lots of gathering, pretty traditional, but, I could skip Thanksgiving food like for the rest
the
of
the food.
Life.
You'll just have whatever
happy.
It is.
Yeah.
So if it gets to the point where you start hosting Thanksgiving at your house, are you going to have a turkey for everybody else's sake?
No, because Jen's not into it either. She's like, if we ever host, like, we're not doing Thanksgiving food. I'm like, thank you.
Oh, cool.
It couldn't come soon enough.
Well,
like once we have a big enough house, like everyone's coming to us, and we're not having that fucking
divided stuff. That's a factor. Yeah, obviously, if you have a big enough space to host people,
right?
Yeah, of course. Then the tradition now becomes your tradition,
right? And that's what we are hoping, because she's like, I would eat tacos on Thanksgiving too. I'm like,
awesome.
This is why I married you.
There's a plate. There's a plate of sliced turkey if you want it.
Yes,
yeah, but
yes.
That's it. We can go to Taco Bell and get the
and get a party.
The $5
a
box.
Fiesta like, box.
And we'll
24
be
tacos.
We'll be just as stuffed and just as happy. And
you'll be happier.
And
happier,
if anything. And be cleaning it out in the next couple hours.
Next couple of minutes.
Yeah. Ryan's only getting worse with age.
I had Bubba Coos today, and I was on the toilet like 15 minutes later. I was like,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was.
You need your gallbladder checked, right, sir.
I had my gallbladder checked. It's fine, apparently.
You need to be on.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, you need to be on omeprazole.
Yeah, right. Like
me and Jack, and maybe you. You on that too?
Goes right through me.
Yeah. I was, but it caused too much gas. Like, hurtful gas.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, you need to get on that. You can get yourself. You can just buy some Prilosec over the counter just to have when you. Yeah, I think so. Because I gave you one when you came over.
But any of that Mexican shit, like Taco Bell does it to me, Chipotle does it to me, Bubba Coos. I'm like,
yeah,
I eat it and I love it, and then seriously, minutes later, it's like
it wants out. It's more stunning to me coming from Chipotle or Bubba Coos, because it's actually like fresh food. Like Taco Bell is packaged and like prepared to a degree,
but Chipotle is actually the worst offender for me.
Really?
Like it wants out fucking immediately.
Wow.
I don't know.
It's the spices.
I don't know. It's
maybe,
something about what they put in there. I always get just a burrito with, you know,
rice
and chicken and salsa.
No beans.
And, no, I don't do beans there. And it just, I eat it, and it's like my insides just want to explode.
I wonder
it
if the
goes
cilantro
through like a laser beam.
Yeah,
that's just funny.
I'm sorry. I know nobody wants to know any of this, but we're here. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like, get used to it.
We're talking about food.
And actually, Andrew started it with that comment. So, he's like, oh, 2 hours later. You know,
not even.
Just pass it. Just make it.
Well, I'm very open.
Yeah,
it's too open, especially in your balloon knots open a lot after eating. So we typically had a pretty casual Thanksgiving. I mean, I'm trying to think of when we started going to my cousin's, because it was years ago, which is something I missed the last couple of years. Being in California, I'd always come back for Christmas and New Year's. And Christmas was always the bigger gathering for my family anyway. You know, again, this is primarily my dad's side of the family, because they're mostly in New Jersey. And people will come in from out of state. And not necessarily for Christmas, but there's generally like a family reunion thing set up that the same cousin hosts. So two events in 1 week, which – on the low end, Christmas has maybe 12 people, and on the high end, it could be 20 plus, whereas this reunion's a revolving door of people coming in and out all day long, which is generally like the Saturday before, the Saturday after, depending what day Christmas falls on. And anyway, I don't remember exactly when that was, but we used to have, just turkey stuffing and some veggies and, you know, the congealed cranberry sauce. That's the shape of the can it came in.
Yes,
the blob.
And, yeah, exactly.
You gotta you open the top of the can, then you gotta punch a hole in the side so it slides out.
Yeah pretty much.
And as soon as that plops out, and I see the grooves on the jelly, I'm like, nope.
Yeah, like, I can't.
Yeah.
You really need to tag ASMR in this because I've been doing a lot of sound effects.
You've been doing a lot of you're very verbal today.
Yeah, Blame Ming. He gave me a fucking peaty scotch. So
is that what it is? You got a buzz going?
Yeah,
you
know, must. Like, it must be interacting with my drugs.
Yeah, throw Open that tag on people. There so you can get more thumbs down. This is an ASMR. Yeah, exactly.
What was I just saying? A bunch of idiots going to YouTube look for porn. Now
they're actually really loud.
Yeah. Like there's legit ASMR on YouTube, and we're gonna ruin it.
You know, hashtag like loud ASMR. Is there something like of one of like people just screaming like drill sergeants just in your face, shark attacking the microphone?
There has to be like some. I mean, that kind of discipline fetish. Oh man, there's a story I forgot to tell on last week's show.
Oh God.
We'll circle back to Thanksgiving in a second because it's not as interesting as this. I promise.
Of course.
Yeah. So one of the rides I did when I was driving Uber out in California, it's a couple of years ago. It was actually the beginning of 2017, around January, February-ish. And the reason I remember that is because we had just relaunched The Only Podcast That Matters, and that was going. And I was going to relaunch Cape again, but I was going to wait until February because I wanted to... No. This is just a regular... Well, okay. It was Guide to Life, but God no. Life, yes. This was just a regular show starting at episode 201. And... So I wanted to make sure that like the emphasis was on The Only Podcast in January, and then I was going to start Cape in February, and then I started questioning what I was going to do, and there still weren't any studios available for anything below like $400 an hour. So I said, okay, no, I don't know if I'm going to do this. I don't want to just be doing another podcast from home, but that's another story. But the idea came about that I wanted to speak to this person because I'm at this bar down in, let's just say the South Bay area. And not I remember the name of it offhand, but just for the sake of keeping it kind of vague, because I don't know if this woman is still there. But I pick up this woman who's heading a little bit south. She's getting dropped off around like the San Pedro area. And we got to talking. I don't remember how. And, you know, generally be polite and you talk about whatever it is with people. And I don't remember how it came up. But she mentioned that her job... You know, she used to have a regular kind of day job like everybody else, but she got into being a dominatrix.
I think you told me this.
I probably mentioned it to you because you'd be the first person, you know, of something sex oriented. I'm like, Andrew, this is fucked up.
This is right up your alley, Andrew.
I immediately sent you a message because this was like 2 a.m. because generally between 2 and 3, the bar, you know, the bar's closed at 2 at the time. I'm sure they still do. Well, maybe not now.
No, at 10
in
o'clock.
Light of COVID, but, you know, bars in California close at 2 a.m. So I definitely picked her up after that time. So I probably sent you a message like before I even drove home, like, dude, this is crazy.
And Andrew's like, yeah, I've been a bad boy. I'm listening.
But I was talking to this woman and she's telling me about being a dominatrix and how much, I mean, I don't remember exactly how much money she made, but it was a lot.
Yeah.
Cause it would be for a half hour
rent,
or an hour. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. And it was a couple hours a week and she was able to make all this money. And I thought, this is someone I want to interview. Like I want to have her on the show, but then I didn't relaunch the show and I didn't. Frankly, get back to her. And the only reason I even remembered this, I mean, it's kind of a remarkable event hearing about the story of a working dominatrix. But actually, because of, you know, you upgrade your phone and I'm now on my third Samsung, your contacts keep getting ported over. And I saw that her dominatrix name, because I programmed her in my phone, we exchanged numbers. Not that I want to make an appointment, but I really want to have her as a guest on the show.
Sherry.
Because I said, she heard about this. Her and I were together at this point. Okay. So I choose probably, okay.
She was probably like, mm-mm.
You're probably the second person I contacted. I guarantee that. It's probably on the phone with her like, this is fucked up. Listen to this. But I still have her number in my phone and you just don't think of it because you contact the same like 10 people, you know, through text and, you know, occasionally phone calls. And I was like, oh, man, I completely forgot about this woman. But yeah, it was kind of what you would expect as far as her clientele. It was a lot of people who, you know, guys who were like bank managers, like bosses and everything, who just want to be dominated.
Because that's what they do it all day. So they don't get it back to them.
Exactly. Yeah. Because they're used to being the boss and nobody ever talking back to them. So there's the part of them that likes to be on the receiving end of that. And especially from a woman. I mean, I don't know if that's if that comes from mommy issues or if that comes from maybe a nagging wife or who knows what.
Yeah.
Or someone who's just not their wife, maybe. I mean, it's really it was fascinating to me. Now, she was always clothed. That was the thing. Never gets naked. Occasionally she would sit on their face. But obviously, she'd have pants on.
I was going to say,
something.
Like leather latex.
So, yeah,
like
there'd never be something like that. And they'd always have like a ball gag or something like Marcellus Wallace. they'd be in a basement tied to a chair. Yeah. No, but I just thought that was And these guys were paying, it was something ludicrous, like $300 an hour or something. So, she didn't have to work that much. And she had regulars so much that she could pay her bills and live just doing this for like not many. It was definitely less than 20 hours a week. I mean, again, this is almost 4 years ago, so I don't remember all the details, but I was just fascinated by it. And this whole, it must have been about a half hour drive. It was just me asking her questions, and I'm thinking, this is going to be a really redundant show. Like, okay, we're just going to repeat the conversation we had in the car, basically. Yeah.
Should just turn your recorder on.
You want to record this?
I thought about it. I'm not even kidding. I was like, should I record this? Maybe ask her if it's okay.
Yeah. Like,
but I did ask her. I pitched her the idea of like, listen, I do a podcast, and I realized, you know, everybody does them, and, you know, that may not sound appealing, but I said, I would love to talk to you about this. Like, she was going to use her name, because obviously not her real name.
Right.
You
know, yeah. Her stage name,
so to speak, her dominatrix name. And, I even came up with a funny nickname for her, which I don't know if she's using it, so I'm not going to mention it. But
I mean, in all honesty, you can probably contact a dominatrix somewhere via, hell, even Instagram nowadays, because there's plenty of porn stars that double as a dominatrix now.
Oh, of course. Well, and, I'm not that interested that I want to devote a show to it.
But well,
he's like, yeah, if you
I'm sure you are. It's like, can I be here?
Yeah, if you need a session, like, yeah. I'll tell you where to look. Good old Andrew.
Yep. And this is why the conversation always goes in a certain direction when he's here.
It's another one of those things where, like, you realize you're in the wrong business. Like, she slaps on some latex and works 20 hours a week.
It was mind bending.
Los Angeles and doesn't have sex.
Doesn't have sex.
Yeah, doesn't have sex.
Tell some asshole that they're assholes.
Right.
And like maybe spanks them with like a leather, you know, cat whip or something.
Yeah, cat of nine tails.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We're in the wrong business.
It's also one of those jobs. I mean, I'm sure there are fetishes, you know, for less than good looking or, you know, of a certain body type or whatever, just like there is for everything. But I mean, really attractive. I mean, I'd say she was an eight. So she could totally be doing something.
So she has the bonus on top of that.
Totally, of being attractive. And I think that's part of it, too. That must be a fetish, like having an attractive woman put you down.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, punish you or, you know, beat you or whatever the hell.
Yeah. There's probably also degrees of it, too, where it's like, it's not so much that you have the very strict dominatrix where they have the ball gag and like they're right. pulling you around in a chain kind of stuff. Or there could be just the lighter end, just kind
of. She was lighter. I do remember that. She didn't do a lot of beating.
Right.
I mean, there's some guys who like to be, you know, spanked or like whipped on the ass. I don't know. I mean, I've heard that's a fetish that supposedly is tied to like, you know, if your mother used to spank you on the ass or something. I don't know. I don't know how the mind goes there. Yeah. I think that's really, really weird, but. There's a lot of fucked up guys out there, is what I'm saying. So Thanksgiving dinner in my family.
Now that we circle back.
Yeah, we're just going to take a hard right turn back to Thanksgiving
dinner.
I mean, it's some kind of turn. It's going to do a 90-degree turn.
Yeah, man.
Just call this show Pornsgiving.
Well, you know what?
Here we go.
I don't know, because names clearly could result in thumbs down, misleading names. Which is funny, the last show the four of us did together, with the three of us and Jack, which was Cape 140. It was called Sex and Booze, and that actually had less views and downloads than the previous week's show, which I thought was interesting because I thought, is the title really putting people off?
Oh, I guarantee you the title puts people off.
Because I thought it was funny.
Look at the video I sent you guys about DC Comics, about the Metal Batman story.
Yes,
Death Metal. Like, the title looks like it was something meant for, you know, an album. And that's why I said to you guys, be like, watch the video, disregard the title, because it's more about what happened between DC and Warner Brothers. It's clickbait.
I get that, because you're going to attract a certain audience.
Exactly.
I just thought it was funny. So, yeah, the idea of, like, Pornsgiving.
Yeah.
Like, it would be funny, but at the same time, while trying to find an audience or expand the existing audience, I thought, I don't know. Like, I was even toying with, I like my meat greasy. But I'm thinking, I don't know if that's necessarily going to attract a bunch of people either. I mean,
it really isn't.
No, we're trying to get people to listen and to watch, so maybe not the best idea.
At least it got thrown out there on the show.
It did.
Yeah. It did. To say these things are being considered, but we didn't have enough of a profile that people are going to listen regardless.
Since all of us kind of had a similar experience when it comes to Thanksgiving, imagine this. Imagine you go to one of your friend's houses for a meal, and it's you, your friend, and 13 other people. All right? And your friend turns around and says, you know, there's a briefcase under your seat. Open it up. You open it up, and there's $1 million in cash in it. That's what George Clooney did.
Oh, I saw the headline of the article that he gave out.
Yeah. The story behind it is both almost ludicrous, but it's so George Clooney. Okay. So what happened is, Chris, correct me, because I know I'm wrong.
I know you're wrong,
see,
too.
You're before, growing up.
Yeah. Before you even say it.
Did you ever meet George Clooney?
I did not meet him, but I was, if you're looking at the camera, folks, you look into the video, I can tell you, I was this far away from him, where you are. Mm-hmm. I was this close to him, and he was wearing a toga. For context.
Okay.
Now, really, really quickly, before you tell the story, because it is when people ask, like, Living California, oh, did you see stars? Did you see anybody? And there are plenty of people I've seen who I'd have to explain what they were in. No, I didn't work on Hail Caesar, but they were shooting Hail Caesar at a studio that I was working at. See, so you knew the movie right away, which is an entertaining movie. I actually think Hail Caesar's on Netflix right now, so it's worth the watch. It's kind of a throwback to
it's a comedy, right?
Takes place in the 50s. Yeah, it's a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It has a lot of funny scenes in it. It's an okay movie, but there are definite scenes, especially homages to movies of like the 50s that are really, really funny, like the musicals Frank Sinatra used to do and stuff like that.
Okay.
But anyway, he was in a toga, and I was walking past, and I can say for certain the most handsome man I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
Hands down. Okay. Because there's some people you think, oh, they're shorter in real life than I thought they'd be. Or sometimes they're taller, you know, yeah. Or whatever. There are a bunch of people you can think, you can have an opinion of. He was exactly as beautiful as you'd hope. Mm-hmm. And I can say that with, you know,
of course,
completely, so. You know, just looking at Matt, I was like, oh, and I didn't want to, you know, tend to, especially because I was working and frankly, he was working. So you don't want to bother people. But I did kind of look. I noticed him. He wasn't looking at me.
Right.
So we didn't like lock eyes or anything. But I was just like, oh, there he is. And he's wearing a toga. I'm like, Jesus, I could dine out on this story for the rest of my life. Which would have been better if I like had some
actually
kind of interaction with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I've heard a bunch of people. Heard stories from a bunch of people
yes.
who have had firsthand interaction, and they're all great. Nicest guy, most down-to-earth guy, has earned everything he has.
Yeah, so that's where I was going with this whole thing, and part of the story is the fact that on his way up, he was one of those guys where he slept on friends' couches, you know, crashed at houses, things like that. You know, he couldn't pay the bills, so his friends let him stay there for however long it was. And he made mention that there are 14 individuals, all older than he is, that were not only mentors, but like these people where it was, he crashed on couches, things like that. They were the ones who were there helping him get where he is now. And this wasn't recent. Like this was back in 2013 that he did this.
I think it was right. Cause I remember the article at the time
yeah.
hearing about this, but I think maybe it was around the time. Maybe I might have my dates wrong. Well, no, I was going to say maybe, no, that's wrapped up in 2007. I thought it was maybe in relation when he sold the tequila company
for
like hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, I didn't hear that.
He was minted before that anyway.
Yes.
So this article just kind of resurfaced because
this article yeah. is confirmed by George Clooney. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Back then it was hearsay.
It was anecdotal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the time.
So he had these 14 people come over and he did just what I described before. He presented them with $1 million cash in a briefcase. And he made the statement about how, you know, all these people are in his will right now. Mm. And, you know, if he gets hit by a truck, these people are getting something. So why do I have to wait to get hit by a truck? Why can't I give them something now? Mm. Especially since of it, you know, his stardom and whatnot. But how he got the money is great. So
did he get it from a vault?
Listen, so he found this place in, I believe it was Los Angeles, that literally just, it's like a Fort Knox almost, where it literally just has movie style pallets of cash.
And all he right. showed up in a Batman mask and stole it.
No, yep. he didn't steal it.
And Terry Benedict is going to come after each one of them. He's going to find them all.
He did rent a florist van to go to this place, loaded it up with $14 million worth of bills, brought it to his whichever home he was doing this in, because you know he's got multiple.
Right.
And like actually put, like, you know, this is Ocean's 11 type shit.
Oh, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
like, and that's the part, like, listen, I know the man is loaded. I know the man could easily do this, but to actually go out and get cash and have the audacity to rent a florist van and say, no, I'm playing my role here
yeah.
and getting, yeah. you know, putting this in here and doing this.
Because I don't think they had Venmo back then.
Right. Well,
the easier
no.
thing to do.
It's also
I need Venmo $1 million.
I think there's a daily limit.
Yeah.
And for 14 people, good God.
Yeah.
He'd still be doing it.
Yeah, he would
in
be.
2020, 7 years later.
But still, like that, you know, imagine that. You know, you get invited over to your good friend's house. You know this friend is obviously loaded because of whatever he did, and you helped him get there. Your friendship has remained the same for all these years, and now he's just like, oh, yeah, here's some some fucking creme brulee and $1 million. Like, in a briefcase.
And I thought Andrew was setting me up by telling me this. Like, listen, if Kate blows up, like, we're friends, right?
Yeah,
right. Like,
yeah.
You literally That's used not... to sleep on my couch when you weren't working, but just to hang out during the day.
Remember, yeah, remember how I helped you?
Yeah,
exactly. No. So I'm like, okay, this is...
No, it was just one of those stories you're like... Part of you, like, because of how he got the cash, is like, I can't fucking believe this. But the other part's like, no, this is George Clooney. I fully believe this.
He is one of those dudes. Like, if you know him, he'll basically invite you to his villa in Italy. Yeah, like he's one of those guys.
You know, you and I have shared stories about how people have said that, you know, he built things and, like, he was, you know, he was a hands-on guy, not just actor.
Right. There was one story I heard. I'm pretty sure Rick Scarry told me, who's an actor, character actor, who's been on this show a bunch of times. I don't remember if he told it on the show, but he said something about he went to George Clooney, went to a reporter's house who was doing like a magazine story or something on him. And the guy was having trouble with like one of his light fixtures or something. And George got on a ladder and like fixed the light and stuff like that. Like, he's one of those dudes who did whatever jobs he could to get by while acting. And he was on something like 18 shows before ER took off. Yeah. So he's one of those dudes who was just a lifer from the beginning, which I mean, that's how you have to be in anything. And, you know, if you're willing to just suck it up.
Very few of us that just get there.
Totally. Well, and he was in his 30s at that point anyway. Like, most people give up. I mean, a lot of people have said, like, you know, well, by the time you're 30, if you haven't made it, that's kind of stupid.
You're limiting yourself.
It's like the idea that, what, you're going to be a marquee name? I mean, that didn't even happen for a couple of years. I mean, his first big movie was Ocean's 11. I mean, prior to that, what was there? The Peacekeeper was his first movie, which nobody really saw. Peacemaker, I think it was called.
Peacemaker,
actually,
yeah, with Nicole Kidman. Yeah.
Batman and Robin is not to look back on fondly.
Yeah.
What else? Out of Sight was a good movie, and the only tolerable
that was a good movie.
The only tolerable J-Lo performance in my book. But otherwise, like, he didn't even pop in movies until he'd been doing ER for, I don't know, 8 years or something. So yeah,
it
wasn't
kind of,
even
it was a lot of seasons.
So was that, and that was 94, I think that started.
ER. And 2001 was Ocean's 11. So there wasn't really a point where the dude just, and especially then, like, TV stars didn't become movie stars. You were a TV actor or you were a film actor, and that was it.
Yeah, there was
never
no
the
transition.
Two shall meet. Yeah. Whereas now everything's just
you're
blended
everywhere.
Together. Now you're just an actor, and you can do a limited series on TV and still do movies. But no, he's just one of those dudes, and I've never heard a bad story about him from anybody who's bumped into him, which is a lot because the dude has been
working
there for a long time. Yeah, he's been working, and he. Even before he was a working actor, did a lot to get there. So he was one of those dudes. So it doesn't really surprise me. Like I said, I remember hearing this a couple of years ago that there was this thing because it's a big undertaking when you're getting $14 million in cash.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the idea of inviting people, like someone's going to talk about it to somebody and it's going to end up being written about.
It was more along the lines, like I was saying, it's more along the lines that the article resurfaced because Clooney confirmed it. Like,
right.
He's like, yeah, I did
now,
that.
Now, yeah, he acknowledged that he did it, which is awesome.
Yeah. I mean,
all right, well, we got another show to do, folks. We're getting both done in one day, so...
Talking about workaholics.
And if you're wondering why it is we're wearing the same clothes next week, don't be like, ew. It's because we just did two shows back-to-back, because Thanksgiving is coming up, so...
We had to wear our extra stretchy pants.
Andrew has nothing but whiskey shirts these days anyway,
well,
so...
Oh, yeah.
It's not much of a surprise. It's
converted.
Although, I have been...
Converted. Yes.
Take that fucking
shared
sticker
universe
off.
No, I am keeping the for the next show too, just to piss Ryan off. I'm keeping the brim flat.
And bend the brim.
And the fucking sticker
God
on.
Damn it. This is in high school.
So for more shenanigans, you can follow Andrew on Instagram and Snapchat for some reason at metal_Drew. You can follow Ryan on Instagram at Honey I Drunk the Beers.
Holla.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Chris Abalo and on Instagram at Chris Sells Out. And you can follow the show at Cape Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And please subscribe, please share, please like the show, give it 5 stars, write a little review. Help us spread the word. We very much appreciate it. And engineer Chris says hi as well. Christian Cordes, if you want to follow him online as well. It's basically on all the medias.
Don't get my government name out there.
All right, fine.
Yeah, bitch, are you crazy?
There goes your card for engineering and the end credits.
Yep. Spitting his government out there.
So, until next time, for Andrew and Ryan, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.
hereby declare Thanksgiving dinner officially over, which means it's the start of Christmas season.